This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Hey, for the holiday weekend, we know there's people online, there's people in the room. Can we just do a good morning to everybody so they can hear it online and in the room? Can you guys do that? Like the COVID good morning, like you have to kind of wave and stuff. So you're on the count of three, ready? Well, good morning. One, two, three.
Good job.
Thank you, guys. Hey, there's something, before we get started on the message, there's something we kind of want to introduce. If you get our newsletter, if you've kind of gotten our emails, you guys know that Luke, our worship leader, current worship leader, is feeling called to a police officer. And so this is something he shared with us over a period of time, and we're going to hear more of that story. It's 3 years ago, I think almost exactly now.
Facebook notification the other day.
Yeah. 3 years on the dot that he started with us. We have been so blessed to have Luke here. He's just stepping back from what he's doing and still be around, but I got to go to the academy in October. And so something he's done over the years is we've been talking about being a hero maker, pouring into other people, equipping them, apprenticing them, and he has done that for Carson. And Carson is our candidate to be the next worship leader, just kind of following along of that line that God's been doing in their lives. And so we're here today to introduce him as our candidate. We put that out there, but also ask you guys to be praying about it. We're going to be asking your input and prayers through September the 15th and listening for the Lord. And then as God leads, we'll continue to take that step forward. And Luke will be, his last day as a worship leader will be October the 3rd. And we're going to honor him that day, and he's going to share a little bit about the journey that he's been on as well as God's leading him that way. But we wanted Luke just to kind of give us kind of his insight into what's been going on with Carson, and go ahead and take it.
Carson didn't know I was going to do this the first service, so he kind of knows what's coming now. But I'm going to make it through this without crying, so hold me to that. So the way that me and Carson met was actually really cool. I've known about Carson for a long time because we went to rival high schools over in Yakin County, so I didn't like him at first, but that's just because of the school thing. But we actually met, what was that, Passion of 2018? Passion Conference in Atlanta of 2018. So when I met Carson, and he was there with our, he was going with our church that I was at the time, and we met and we started talking, like, yeah, we both worship leaders, we're both interested in music. So after that, we didn't really keep in contact, you know, just a couple day thing. And then when we were in the gym, it was just me and Jonathan playing music, so me on guitar and him on cajon. So I didn't have any backup to lead worship, and I was going away for a weekend. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm asking all my friends that I know that lead worship, I'm like, hey, can you come do this for me? None of them could, so I was like, all right, I'm going to tell my brother I can't go, or I'll have to come back early on Saturday. And then Daniel, the guy who plays piano and sings up here, he texted me, he's like, hey, you know Carson's back, because Carson was doing an internship at another church, but he had just recently moved back. I was like, no, that's awesome. So I reached out to Carson. I was like, hey, would you mind doing this for one Sunday? You know, just a one-time thing. Everything will be set up for you. You don't have to, you know, commit to anything, just one Sunday. He said, yeah, that's awesome. He never left. So he came and led worship, did a great job. And then I texted him later that week. I was like, hey, how did it go? He's like, man, it was awesome. It was great. And he didn't have a church home at the time. So I was like, come play with us, you know. And then he's been a great fit. And I don't say this lightly, but every technology thing you see in here would not have been possible without Carson. It would have been possible, but not as quickly, because Carson had that grasp on technology. So he came in at a time in the church where we desperately needed him, because if it was me and Jacob figuring out all the live stream things, it would have happened, but it wouldn't have been as good, not as quick. So Carson, he stepped up in that role in a big way, and he's taken over the tech team. And the Carson that came to Bridges is not the Carson that we have now. He's a totally different person, and it's been an honor and a pleasure, and I don't take any responsibility for it at all, but to see him grow up as a leader, because if you would have asked me, Carson, 3 years ago, is he ready to take this position, I would have said no, honestly, but now he's grown, and he's become a person that I think is ready for this position, is feeling called to this position. So I'm just excited for him. I'm excited to see him take this on, if that's where God is leading us, if that's where God is calling us. But yeah, it's been an honor and pleasure for me to have some part in him growing up as a leader. And I've really been intentional about instilling that in him, like giving him opportunities to pray, to sing, to lead, because I could see that from the very first encounter with him, that, you know, this is something that he is feeling called to, that God is leading him to. Be in prayer about that. Like Patrick said, it's September 15th is the date that you guys will have to speak into this process. I'm just excited for Bridges and for Carson as we go forward in this journey.
All right. So we want to take time and pray over this process. If you'll join me in doing that. We're really, really focused on God's calling on our lives, all of us. And this is one of the areas that we want to make sure that God is calling him. And that's a huge thing in our life as our church. So let's join together and pray over this process, if you guys will join me. Father God, I just thank you for Carson and for Luke, for bringing them both here and what you're doing and what you've been doing and the way that your spirit is working in their lives. I thank you for the heart that Carson has for worshiping you and the way he's able to lead us in that as well. And thank you for Luke's influence on his life and how you brought Luke along as well. So we pray for your will to be done, Father God. Just reveal to us your calling on Carson's life. May we as a church just reach out and do everything we can to help Carson in this journey. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's give these guys a hand. Appreciate these guys. If you have thoughts, concerns, prayers, whatever, send them to info@bridgeschurch.net. The elders will get that, and we'll just continue on this process. Today, we are doing what we call a standalone. That's where, like, we get caught between series sometimes, and, like, we do a thing for one day. So, like, next week, we're going to talk about calling. It's a new series that we're calling Finding Your Place in God's Story. We hope that you'll come. We're starting small groups as well next week. If you haven't signed up for small group, you can jump in online, look at them. They're all over the county, different nights. And we'll just be jumping and go, how do you know your calling in life, no matter what you are? It's not just about missionaries and pastors. It's about you and God's calling in your life. And so there's books available. They're at the hospitality table today out there if you want to grab one of those. We're reading a book, going through scripture, and doing that for the next few weeks. So check out small groups. Today, though, we have an outline. If you want to go on our app, or there's a QR code, you can link that with your phone and then follow along. There's scriptures you can follow along. Today, we're going to talk about something that is not an easy topic. I was praying about, okay, I have a standalone. What do you talk about? And I'll just kind of give you why I'm here in this particular topic. Is I had it in my mind that fall of 2021, we'd be done with COVID. I don't know about anybody else, but I kind of was like searching out, going, okay, in the spring of 2020 and 21, you know, we would get through this. And then the summer, by going vacation, we'd come back, September, schools would start, COVID would be long gone, we'd be talking about it forever. And now it didn't go away. And I was like, because I'd put that expectation out there, I was kind of like going, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know if I'm the only one in the room that feels like that. I'm tired of it. I'm weary of it a little bit. And here's the deal. I hate to wait. I don't know if there's any other people that are in that I hate to wait crowd, but I hate to wait. So having to wait through this kind of threw me, because I think if I just thought it's, you know, it's just here to stay, I'd have been okay. But with the expectation we'd be through it, it really threw me a little bit, and I kind of had to process this. And so I want to talk about waiting today. So I don't know if this is for you or anybody in the room, or if it's just for me, okay? So if it's just for me, you guys listen politely, and then at the end you can just walk out. But maybe God wants to talk to you today about waiting and how to wait well. Because in our culture, we don't wait well, do we? I don't wait well. I mean, our culture is built for not waiting, right? I mean, what used to take months to travel around the world, now we can do in hours. Like if we wanted to go overseas, it would take months in a boat. Now you can get in a plane and go for hours, and we get upset waiting in line at the counter to get our ticket, right? It's taking too long. Getting to this place, I live about 4 miles away. If I walked it, and I've walked it before, an hour and 20 minutes. If I drive, 5 minutes. If I get stopped at the light over here, I'm upset. Anybody else like me? Like, I gotta wait for this. And especially the one two down where it will get stuck sometimes, and you're just sitting there, there's nobody. There's nobody coming. You're going, do I run it or not? I mean, am I the only one that thinks this way? It's like, do I run it or not? And then with Amazon, I don't run it. I just want you to know that. With Amazon, do you ever get tired of waiting for Amazon? Like, if it's gotta be here by 4 o'clock. You said 4 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, and I need it. And if it's not there, we get so spoiled, right? We hate to wait. We hate to wait in drive-thrus. It would have taken hours before to prepare the food. Stacy and I went to a restaurant that just opened. I won't name it. It's just brand new. So they're getting things figured out. We had to wait 10 minutes in line. People are pulling out. They're like, we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. We enjoyed it. We ate outside. It was fun. But I didn't like waiting. I just don't like to wait. And yet for some of us in the room, you're stuck in waiting period, aren't you? I mean, some of you, everything's going really well and life is just moving forward, but some of us are stuck in a waiting period, and it's hard. And you may be waiting for a dream that God's put in your heart. You go, when's it going to happen? Sometimes you're waiting to get married. You're just waiting for that right person to come into your life, and it hasn't happened. Some of you are married, and you're waiting for a child. Some of you are married, and you have children. You're waiting for them to move out, right? So you're waiting for that. Some of you are waiting for that next job. When's that job going to come? Even though there's all these hiring signs out there, it's not the right place. Some of you are waiting to retire. You've been looking forward to that. Some of you are waiting right now for doctor's results. And that's some of the hardest waiting of all. And you're waiting for maybe a loved one that's going through a tough time. Some of you are waiting to get out of school. You've been going to school, going through school. When's this going to be over? So we all get stuck into waiting, and it's not easy. And if you really get stuck into waiting, there's a word you have to be careful of. And it's the word never. And this is what I mean. Sometimes we get stuck in the word never. We go, it's never going to change. Or I'm never going to get married. Or I'm never going to be finished with this. Or I'm never going to experience joy again. Or I'm never going to have peace. I'm never going to see God. I mean, that word never sometimes gets stuck there, right? And we can get caught in this world and we go, okay, that's so hard. And how do you wait when that starts to happen? And here's the deal. There's times as human beings we just have to wait. And we know that. See, our universe is built on waiting, right? You think about it, how do we get to tomorrow? We have to wait for the world to revolve, and we can't speed it up, right? If you're waiting for tomorrow, you're waiting for the day off, you can't get there any faster. I've got to wait for the world to go all the way around. If you're waiting for summer humidity to go away, it felt really good the last couple of days, didn't it? I heard it's coming back. I hate to give you that news, but we're almost there. It's like you have to wait for the seasons, and like fall is like my favorite season. August is my least favorite season. It's like humidity every single day. And it's like, when will this end? And you just have to wait. When you plant a seed in the ground, you got to wait for it to grow. When this plant grows, you have to wait for it to produce flowers or fruit. God's built waiting into the universe. When you get pregnant, you have to wait to have the child. I mean, it's all built into it. God wants us to wait, and he has something for us while we're waiting. The other day, I was reading his research, and I came across a thing from Charles Stanley. It just really helped me. He said, when you're waiting, what you're waiting for is God and not the circumstance. And what he meant by that is if you're praying about something right now and you're waiting to get through it, like, God could change that instantly. We just said that with one word. With one word, you can revive my heart. With one word, God, you can give me a job. With one word, you could bring somebody into my life. With one word, you could move my life forward. With one word, you can give me peace. And we understand that. And so if we understand that, then, like, we're always waiting for God. And that changes things for me. Because if I'm waiting for God to move, then there's something he's doing. There's something in our relationship that he's doing that I need to kind of understand. God, it's you I'm waiting for. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, I am sure that God keeps no one waiting unless he sees that it is good for them to wait. God keeps no one waiting unless he sees it is good for them to wait. If you're in the waiting room of life, and some of us are in there right now, know that God is working, and it must be good for us to be there. He is doing something in our life. The Bible is filled with people who had to wait, right? Abram and Sarah had to wait 25 years to have a child. That's a long time when God has promised them. Hannah had to wait for a child. Joseph was stuck in prison for years, and God had him there for a purpose, and he understood the purpose at the end. But can you imagine every day you're waking up in prison for something you did not do, and you just had to wait? David, we're going to talk about his life. King David, he had to wait for God. In the New Testament, there's two kind of people that are just barely mentioned in the story of the birth of Jesus. Remember Anna and Simeon? They're two guys, two people that she was a widow and older, and he was older, and they'd been waiting for the Messiah, and so finally they get to see the Messiah. They got to experience it, but they had to wait their whole life to get there. So waiting is just filled in the times of Scripture. Just all the people had to wait for something. And maybe you're waiting today. And we want to present to you some scriptures, some ideas to help us in waiting. We're going to talk about some principles, some truths to remember, and we're going to talk about some practices to do so we can learn to do something that's really hard. It's learning to wait well. And maybe today we don't want to wait well, right? But we need to wait well, because we're going to learn and need to wait. Here's just three truths. You probably know these truths, but when you're in the waiting room of life, here's some things to remember while you're there. They're simple things, but just kind of keep these in the back of your mind. While you're waiting, know this. Number one, that God's will is perfect. That God's will is perfect, that what he wants for you, what he desires for you is absolutely perfect. So if you're waiting, he wants something for you. You've got to keep that in mind. There's something there that God is doing, and he has you there for a purpose. But what he wants, what his will is ultimately, is perfect. Romans 12:2, Paul is writing, he says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Don't be like the culture. He says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Maybe today we're going to change that to say by changing the way you think about waiting. Let God change the way you think about waiting. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is what? It's good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. So what God wants for you in your period of waiting is something that's good and pleasing and perfect. You just got to get there. Second thing to remember is this, is that not only is God's will perfect, but his plan is perfect. He does have a plan for your life. He is sending you in direction. There is something he wants for you. He's already seen it. He's already written it in his book, but it is perfect. And the question is, do you believe that today? Do you believe his plan for you is perfect, even while you're waiting? Even the waiting is part of his plan. Most of us know Jeremiah 29:11. Many of us have it in our homes, right? Do you know the context for this verse? The Israelites were exiled. They're away from home. They had to wait it out until God was going to bring them home. And Jeremiah steps up and says, look, God has a message for you and you're waiting. And this is what he told him. This is what God said to him. For I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Why? To give you a future and a hope. So God has something for you on the other side. He's leading you through, and he was telling the Israelites, look, you're on exile. I'm going to bring you there. It's supposed to give you a future and a hope. My plan is perfect for you. Just keep going through the time of waiting. So his will for you is perfect. His plan for you is perfect. Number three, his timing is perfect. This one's hard because I want it yesterday. I want God to have moved yesterday in my life. I'm very impatient, and yet God says his timing is perfect. It happens exactly when it's supposed to happen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, many of us know this verse, for everything there is a season, and there's a time for every activity under heaven. So there is a time, and God's perfect timing, it's going to happen. Not before, not after, but exactly when God wants it to, and sometimes it has to wait. And the reality, as Peter learned in his time spending with Jesus, is that God's timing is different than ours. 2 Peter 3:8, many of you might know this one too. Peter writes and he says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. You ever felt like a day was 1,000 years? You ever had one of those days? You ever had to sit in the waiting room while somebody's having an operation or in the emergency room and you're waiting and like the clock is ticking backwards? Has that ever happened to you? Or if you're in school, you ever sat in a class where it seems like time just stands still? You know, hopefully not Sunday morning while you're listening to me, but sometimes you have those days where it seems like the clock is just not moving. It sounds like it feels like 1,000 years in one single day. And God said, that's what it's like for me. I have different time schedule than you. What you think that you think was going to happen over a period of time is maybe going to take a little longer, but it's just going to be a blink in the eye compared to eternity. You got to think about time differently and waiting differently, that God has a plan and it's going to happen exactly when it's supposed to. But until that time, we have to wait and we have to learn to wait well. One of my favorite verses written by one of my favorite inspired authors is King David. And King David wrote in Psalm 25, verse 5, a verse that I lean on a lot. And I've always focused on the first part, never the second. First part says, lead me in your truth, God, and teach me. I like that part. God, teach me, lead me at where I am right now. Do that. For you are the God of my salvation. The last part I always skip. For you, I wait all the day long. David is connecting this idea of waiting and learning. Waiting and receiving guidance. He's saying when you're waiting is the best time to learn. Why? Because you can't do anything else, right? In a time of activity, a time where everything's happening, then we're doing stuff. We're not really learning maybe from the circumstances, but when we're waiting, we don't have any choice but to learn. And this is what God does for us. And David's connecting those two things, waiting and learning. Waiting and being led. So if you're in a period of waiting right now, then kind of sit back and let God teach you. And let him show you some things that you're supposed to learn in this time of waiting so you'll be ready. When God moves and his timing is perfect and his plan is starting to happen and his will is being unveiled in your life, then you're ready to go because you've learned everything you're supposed to learn during the time of waiting. John Piper had a quote early on in COVID. Interesting quote, don't waste COVID. I wonder if he still say that today, a year and a half into it, right? And what did he mean by that? He meant we're going to go through a trial, we're going to go through a struggle, and God's going to use it, so don't waste it. Use this time, let God teach you and show you. Come out better, come out stronger, come out closer to him, more like him, but don't waste it. And you could apply that to anything in your life, right? Don't waste the illness you're going through. Don't waste the struggle you're going through. Don't waste the trial you're going through. Don't waste the period of waiting that you're going through. Let God use it for your benefit and for his glory. I want to talk about three practices today. So if you're stuck in the waiting room of life, how do you wait well? What are some things that you can do while you're there? How can you learn? How can you grow? There's three simple things, but they're powerful things to go, okay, God, take me through. And the first thing in the three practices, number one, something to learn to do while you're there in the waiting room is to learn to rest while waiting. Learn to rest. It's one of the hardest things in the world to do while you're waiting is learn to rest. King David, again, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still. So today, this is what I want you to do. If you're in the waiting room, if you're struggling, maybe you're a little anxious, a little worried, or your thoughts are somewhere else, this is what I want you to do. We're going to breathe for a second. Can we do that in the midst of this time? Yeah, I know you're breathing now. Can we focus on your breathing? All right, so this is what I want you to do. We're going to do kind of an exercise. Everybody take a deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out. All right, let's do it again because you need practice at this, I can tell. All right, ready? One more time. Breathe in and breathe out. Now I want you to do something else. When we breathe in this time, I want you to say, God is good. And when you breathe out, I want you to say it all the time. Can you guys do that? All right, so we're going to breathe in. Ready? God is good all the time. Let's do it again. God is good all the time. Don't you feel better? You guys ready to go to lunch? I think that's it, right? We're good? All right. But I think this is something to do is learn how to rest. David was a guy, he was a guy of action. Anybody else like that? When you want to do something, you just want to do it. Like, I don't want to think about it, I just want to get to it. When David was a little kid, right, he goes to visit his brothers, and they're fighting this battle with the Philistines, and this giant comes out every day taunting them, and David goes, why isn't somebody doing something about it? Is anybody like that in here? Like, let's do something about it. Let's not stop talking. Let's do something. And so David goes, I'll do it. If you guys are all afraid, I'll do it. So he goes, and they say, okay, I don't know why they let this kid do it, right? But this is all says, well, where my armor? He goes, it's too big. And David says, I don't need it anyway. Just give me a sling. Give me some stones. I'll go out and run to him. He runs toward Goliath, throws the stone. We know the story. Kills Goliath, and he's down, and it's like, wow, man of action, right? And he did this for his life. He would just make decisions and go. And then he gets anointed to become king, and he has to wait. And then he goes out in the desert because his life's in danger, and he enters the university of waiting out there. And for years, he could not become king because his life was in danger. The king was after his life. And then David had to learn how to rest in God. Not an easy lesson. There was one day he was sitting with his army, some of his closest guys, and David says, I would sure like a drink of water from the well back there. It's back behind the enemy lines. And his guys were listening to the story and listened to him tell that and go, let's do that for the king or for David. And so they wait till night. They go into the enemy camp. They go to the well. They get the water and bring it home. And David is filled with regret because he goes, these guys put their life on the line because I was impatient, because I voiced it and they heard it, and so they were willing to die for me to have a drink of water. And he takes it and he pours it out in front of him, and he's basically saying, your life wasn't worth my impatience. I shouldn't have done that. And he felt regret. Have you ever done something because you weren't willing to wait that you regretted later on? I mean, you're waiting for the person to get married and you had a person that was close, you knew they weren't right, but you go, I'm so tired of waiting, I'm going to date this person or be with this person, and you dealt with those consequences. Did you ever spend money on something you shouldn't have spent money on because you were tired of waiting? Go, I deserve this. I need this. And so you buy it right away, and then you go, oh, man, I have buyer's remorse. There's a reason it's called that, right? Because you go, I shouldn't have done that. And it's because we're not willing to rest sometimes, and we make decisions. When you're restless, when you're anxious, what does that feel like to you? I mean, think about it for a minute. When you're anxious or restless, where do you feel it? Maybe you can feel it now. I feel it in my shoulders when I'm anxious and restless. That's where I can feel the tension building. Not right now, but I can do that normally. I feel it in my gut, but I really feel it in my mind. Anybody else like that? Where your mind won't shut down, and it just keeps going over the same problem and over, and you find yourself in the middle of the night. You're thinking about that. How am I going to solve this? You're looking online for every solution. How do I solve this problem? I feel it in my fingers sometimes on my phone. Anybody else like me? Going from one site to another. How am I going to solve this? How am I going to figure this out? I can feel it when I'm not waiting well, when I need to rest. I was feeling that last week, to be honest with you. I was feeling anxious about COVID, a bunch of other things I can't solve in my life. I could feel it building up. And where I work, the way I work, I have Friday off and Saturday. And so Friday I said, I'm going to take the day. I'm going to go on a spiritual retreat, which I wanted to do every month. I'm about every 6 months, so I don't have this figured out. I went up to Grandfather Mountain Friday. I got up really, really early, took my journal, went to the swing bridge. You guys been up there? If you haven't, that's like your job. You need to go to Grandfather Mountain, okay? You can either go for the free part, which is down below, or you can pay your money. I paid the money, went up to the swinging bridge. Then I went in the backcountry. If you've never been in the backcountry, it's absolutely incredible. And there was nobody there. And there was no wind. And I got on the trail. It was me and this other couple. We kept passing each other, and we had this conversation going. And I got ahead of them, and I climbed up this rock. And I was above the tree line. And I just sat there with my journal, looking out over God's creation, and I just rested, which is really hard for me. And I just basically said, God, I didn't even know how to put words to this. I'd surrender it. Here's all of it. And there is a peace there. And it wasn't just the creation. It wasn't just the mountain. It was the Lord God and his presence. And I was just able to rest. And my soul needed that. Where do you go when you're anxious? What do you go to when you're restless? And you might not be like me. You might not be able to go up there, and that's okay. You know what Jesus said? Just go in your room. Go in your secret room. Close the door and just talk to God. Just go away and close the door, and you can talk out loud. You can write it down. Like, I like to write it down because my thoughts just kind of get jumbled if I try to talk out loud. But just tell God all the stuff that you're worried about. And why you don't like to wait. And let him speak back to you at that time. David wrote in Psalm 62, verse 5, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence and rest, for my hope is from him. So instead of turning to other things, turn to God and find rest at the time of waiting. That's the first thing to learn, is how to rest. Number two is learn to look to God while waiting. Different thing entirely. Learn to look to God while waiting, because if you're like most people, you look other places while you're waiting. If you need a doctor, you go to the doctor. That's important, but look to God first. If you need something fixed, I mean, it's okay to call the people to get it fixed, but go to God first, right? If you have a problem with someone in a relationship, it's okay to go to them. Let's work this out, but go to God first and look to him. Psalm 121, famous verse, most of us know it, written by David, inspired by Holy Spirit. David writes, and he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do you ever read that without the question mark? I had to look and make sure there's a question mark. Because most people read this and go, I look to the hills. That's where God is. That's where my help is. That's not what David's saying. Understand the culture and the context. David is in the land of Canaan. He lives and is surrounded by a group of people that don't worship the God that he knows. They have their gods. And they put their places in the high places. When you read the scripture, you say they would go to the high places and worship. They would put altars around these high places. So in their everyday life, the people who didn't know Yahweh, when they had a problem, they'd look up to the different hills and go, okay, I'm looking to this God. I'm looking to that God. I'm looking to that God to solve my problem. David says, where does my help come from? It's not the hills. I don't look to the hills for my answers. I don't look to those other gods. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth, that God, the one who can do anything. That's where I look. Where do you look when you've got issues? Where do you turn first? David looked to the Lord. Micah is a very short book, the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says this, as for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. If you're in a place of waiting right now and it's really hard for you, mark that verse. I mean, pull it up on your YouVersion or wherever you need to do. Put it as your screensaver. Write it down. Put it on your mirror. As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me, especially in the time of waiting. I know he's there. Look to God. Learn to look to him while you're waiting. The third and final practice to kind of grab from today to wait well, number three, is after we learn to rest, after we learn to look to God, learn to endure while waiting. This is a hard one. Learn to endure. Learn to keep going in the midst of your waiting. James, the half-brother of Jesus, has this great, great verse section that most of you will know. James chapter 1, starting verse 2. It starts with a paradox. You guys know what a paradox is, things that don't fit together. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's not how I meet trials. I don't know about you guys. When I hit a trial, I don't think, oh, thank you, God. That's great. My refrigerator just died, right? Or thanks for that accident. That's wonderful. I really appreciate it. Thank you that I got sick. I'm really enjoying like being sick all over the place. Thank you, God. I mean, most of us don't think about that. I got a problem with a friend. Thank you, God. I have this problem with my friend. I can't solve it. I appreciate that a whole lot. I mean, I'm being sarcastic. Do you count it all joy? It's hard to, isn't it? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Why? For you know that the testing of your faith produces something. It produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So you have to be steadfast to be complete. If you're not steadfast, if you're not good at waiting, you're not complete. And guess what happens when you're not complete at waiting? What do you think God has you do to get you ready to be complete? He lets you wait. He lets you wait. The word steadfastness, one of those fun words in the Bible. In Greek, it's two words smashed together. Hupomeno, okay? Hupomeno. It's a fun word to say. Hupo means by or around. Meno means to rest or abide. Like when you talk about Jesus saying, abide with me, stay with me. That's what the word is, meno. So it means basically sit here. When you have to wait, God says, sit here beside me and stay there until you've learned how to wait. That's a hard thing, isn't it? That's what endurance is. Sit by me, remain by me, abide with me until you're complete. Wait. Wow, that's a tough thing, isn't it? Because it really shows our trust. I'm willing to stay where you put me, God. I'm willing to wait for you. I'm going to hupomeno. I'm going to become steadfast, and you're going to make me complete by waiting. And that's when we know that we're learning what God wants us to learn. Peter, in his letter, wrote this, something very similar to what James wrote. In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, says this, so be truly glad, another paradox. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a while. In other words, there's something better. You're going to get there. Just keep going and count it joy because you're going through this time. Why? Next verse. These trials will show that your faith is genuine, which is the most important thing to God in the whole world, your faith, your trust in him. He says, you're going to go through this because that will make sure you will know that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, it's the most important thing between you and God is, do you really trust him? Do you believe him? So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. He says, look, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off what you're going through, but you got to go through the fire first. And when you're going through the fire, it doesn't feel good, but it has to be refined. Your faith is being refined. It's being tested. It's being hardened. It's being strengthened. And you wait, and God is working in your life. I don't know if you saw the story of Fermín López. You guys seen this story? It's an amazing story. It's a guy who was in the army. He was a helicopter medic in Iraq. He'd gotten some pretty tough places. Saw some pretty bad things, I guess. Came back to the States, moved to Winston-Salem here in our area, suffering PTSD and just going through a rough time. He works at the VA over in Kernersville in our area. And he was just going through a difficult, difficult time. And what he thought he would do, and he came into his mind, he wanted to make a knife. You know, a knife just to kind of have something to do with his hands. And so he did what all of us did. He went to YouTube. How do you make a knife? Never done one before. And what he learned was you go to Walmart and you get a bag of charcoal. And he got a bag of charcoal and his hair dryer. He put it all in the grill. Got it really high. Used his hair dryer. Put the steel in there and made his first knife. Now, it wasn't very strong, but he made his first knife. And he enjoyed it. And he felt a little peace in it. But he realized you got to get the fire hotter to get steel. So he began to learn and to grow in his blade making ability. And so he began to get new tools, and he began to get his own anvil. He made it out of a railroad tie, and he got the fire hotter and harder, but that wasn't enough either. So he had to go get a kiln and had to build his workshop, and he got better and better, and people started buying his knives and his blades from all over the world and began asking him for it. And then the show Forged by Fire found him on the History Channel, and he represented the army on that show, and he got to be a finalist. And the people that knew him, because he'd been in this community for a while, said, this guy has grown and matured during this time. But there's something else. He's found a peace. He's found a peace now that he's home, and he's found something to do. And what he learned through that is you've got to put things in the fire, and you've got to put it under a lot of stress to get steel. Tempered steel is steel that's put under a tremendous fire and a lot of stress, and it comes out strong and flexible. It can't just be strong, because it can be strong and brittle, meaning when you put it under stress, it breaks. But when you get it really hot and put under a lot of stress, it becomes tempered steel and it'll stand anything. Instead of being broken, it breaks other things. And I think that's what God does with us, right? In the midst of waiting, he's going, I'm tempering you. You're being refined in the fire so that you are useful in my hands. And so the waiting time is no fun. But on the other side, when you learn to endure and remain in me, you are useful to me. Waiting is no fun. We go through the time. God is teaching us through. He's shown us who he is. And then he takes us on the other side. I want to close with a verse from Isaiah 64, verse 4. It's a great verse. Again, another one to put in your back pocket. Have it available when you have to wait. This is what Isaiah wrote. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Isn't that great? You may not see it. You may not always be sure of it, but while you're in the waiting room of life, God is at work. He's working around you. He's putting things together. He's moving things around, but mostly he's working on you to get you ready for what he wants to do in your life. God is at work. Put your hope in him. So today I want to pray for us. If you're in the waiting room, I know it's hard. I mean, I hate waiting, and God has me in the waiting room too. And I'm just going, okay, God, teach me quick, right, so I can get through it. But I'm just dependent on this God who made me, who made the universe, who loves me, whose will is perfect, whose plan is perfect, who's working everything for his glory and his good. I pray that he's working in your life the same. So let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for your faithfulness. You are a faithful and true God. And we trust your love, and we know that you're working behind the scenes. We don't always see it, and sometimes we doubt, and sometimes we get in a hurry. But ultimately, our faith is in you. So I pray over anybody today that's just waiting and waiting, and it seems like it'll never end. I pray that you'll give them a real sense of your presence, that you are with them in the midst of the waiting, And for those that maybe waiting is not something they're going through, Father, we give you the praise that right now you're just revealing everything you want to in their life and things are moving forward. And that is great too. So Father, I pray for anyone today that maybe is waiting to invite you into their life, maybe for the first time. And maybe today is that day where you're just calling them out. Come follow me. Come follow me and find rest for your souls. So Father, we pray over this group. Use us, mold us and shape us for your glory and your name's sake. And we pray this in the name of Jesus.